If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
What's up, and welcome back to another episode of No Ceilings Podcast with your host, Nah Fuck That, with your low, Glasses Malone. The thing about No Ceilings, you listen to, I don't really do interviews. Mm-hmm. I always find myself just talking to interesting people about interesting shit. And something I always looked at that you did that I had an idea and everybody thought I was crazy is, like, I had wrote a porno.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wrote it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to produce and shoot it. Now, I didn't want to direct it, but I wanted to produce it. But it was raunchy as fuck because it was a slave porn. I know, right? Wow. Shooting myself, Street Crip, right? Like, no, for real. And it was like plantation. I was going to shoot on a plantation, slave masters, slaves, you know, just all the crazy shit that can go on. And I wrote it, and it's dope as fuck, but I just never could go through with shooting it. Now, I don't know if God was just on my ass about it because he like, nigga, you just, I give you all this intellect and this is what you about to do with it. But I just thought, like, I'm one of them type of niggas that, like, when I fuck with shit, I want to just make the shit, I want to make an impact.
Yeah.
When I used to sell sherm, like, I was branding my sherm and shit. I had a really interesting take. Even though, for real, as my older homies would tell you, like, I be about to hustle and I'll write down, like, when I started selling weed, I wrote down all the profits. I was looking at the ideas. Okay, these niggas is bagging up $850 off a pound of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, look, I'm finna fuck all that. I'm finna bag up $450. So my nickel bag's finna be crazy.
Fact.
And we almost got our hood into a whole gang war with PJs and Mona because I had these cheap-ass bags. But I can't help it. That's how my brain works as a creative. Like, I don't know how to be in some shit and just get by.
Yeah. You got to push the envelope. You got to stretch the walls a little bit and make it a new shape. Yeah.
Oh, God. So it's funny, you know, when you in with another creative person and, you know, to like, when do you feel like you kind of just was like, yeah, I ain't tripping. I done enough. How long ago?
Oof, man. Well, Easy Funeral was music. That was definitely, that was it. The day of the funeral, that was it. I'm good. Just that fast. I didn't think.
That's 12 years.
No, that's 25.
That's 25 at 80. Back then?
No, he was, he's saying how long ago it was.
Yeah, 90.
You saying it was 12 years into his career.
He had already been making records. I know for sure I heard, I seen Surgery.
Oh, yeah. I've been in the music game. Way before music, I was just DJing. Like one of the first DJs.
That's crazy. So when the first time you DJed?
Had to be, I think the first DJ actually I did, I was a kid. My brother's wedding reception. Man. And it was 8 tracks. So I wasn't mixing or nothing, but the night before, I had cued all the songs. So I can just put in the song and push play, and the hit of that album was there. Wow. And I didn't know I was DJing. I was just playing some music.
First time you got a table.
Yeah.
When's the first time you got a table?
High school.
So this is you high school. You had to be
80. Yeah, 1980.
You went to Compton, right?
Yeah.
Tory Baby. They have Tory Baby kids. I wanted to go to Compton so bad. My mom was like, nah, nigga, you going to Paramount. They ain't got no AP classes at Compton. Shout out, rest in peace, Olivia, man. She was not, yeah. She wasn't fucking with nothing that didn't have AP classes.
Oh, yeah.
I think she knew my mind was already doing a lot as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
She was trying to keep it distracted with all of these different, you know, educational challenges. But I still found some way to get pushed. So at that point, you know what I mean? You making records. For sure, I know you were part of making Surgery.
Yeah. Right? Well, no. Well, I made a record, me and Clientele, before Surgery. It was called
82.
No, it was the same year, but it was just before Surgery. It was called Slice, and we just doing it, learning, because we were new to the drum machine, new to keyboards, all that stuff. All this was brand new. It wasn't no going on online and listening to somebody's stuff. No, it was all trying to figure out how to make a machine work. You had to read the manual back then.
That's nice.
It wasn't on your phone, and everything is there. It was just...
And what was y'all cooking with then, with your first joint?
It was a... The first one was the MXR. It was just learning, and it was okay. But then the first song that I did, me and Clientele, was on the Lynn drum.
Oh, I know what that is.
And I just
same
had to,
that did Roger Lynn.
Yeah.
So he had his own
same. Then we went to the DMX. That's what we use for most of this music. DMX, then the SP-12, then the 1200.
It's crazy. You was already making 13 records for 13 years before you stopped. So you probably could be done with it.
Yeah.
So nothing pushes your mind to do no crazy shit now, like just as a creative, because no matter what, even when I argue with Doc, when I go see Dre, right, and I'm arguing with Cuz, like, he trying to act like, you're not cool, bro. Your mind can't be, like, he always be like, man, you always got some shit going. I'm like, how could my mind stop trying to have shit going?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I feel like all our experience has been so crazy that, like, I want to make a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, my little bro, Metro, man, shit, we do marketing shit.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? We just constantly learning new shit about life, and we lie to ourselves like it's about money.
Yeah.
We be lying. I tell him all the time, you only feel like it's about money because that's just, you train to feel that way.
Yeah.
But it's like this pursuit of just doing some dope ass shit all the time that drives it.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do you curve that? Because if you was making records in 82, nigga, you still, to even be ahead of hip hop at that early.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just was working on a joint and it took me back through some crazy studies because it's based off Planet Rock.
Okay.
So it's the whole electro form.
Yeah.
So I'm studying, doing my homeworks, and to only realize hip hop was influencing R&B.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Planet Rock probably is how Midnight Star finally started getting naked.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And at a time when R&B was suppressing hip hop. So how do you curve that created, because I know it's still there. Like, how'd you stop?
You know something? I don't think it's there. It's just after the funeral, and I seen, you know, I have never seen a minute of Cupid's funeral. I never seen him put the casket in the ground and put the dirt and hammer it down. I'm like, I never, they just wanted to do that for nobody would steal nothing or whatever, you know, these weird people. And right then I just, there was a couple of guys with me. I said, that's it. I'm done with music. I didn't think about it. Didn't analyze it. It was just like, it's gone. It's just like it just flowed out.
But even the other creative parts, like, because you end up starting to do some stuff.
In the movie, I did the movies longer. I did them 15 years, 350 movies. I mean, I filmed everything, edited everything, took all the pictures, did all the music. I was like a one band, just everything. 15 years straight. And it was just, I was doing 4 or 5 movies a month.
Who the fuck started you? Who the fuck made you think you could do like DJ Yellow? Yeah, I'm gonna make movies. Nigga, what?
Yeah, who, like, that's a curveball for sure. Like,
yeah, how did you?
My buddy, Big Man, rest in peace. He brought an idea. He brought it to E about porn.
Sure.
And E just kind of just did nothing. He brought it to me. All right, let's do it. Because see, I thought my initial thought was like a producer, like we do music.
Yeah.
We do a. That's what my idea, to make movies like records, 4 or 5 records a month. So it's 4 or 5 movies. He brought it to me. I didn't mess. So I went out and bought the equipment, everything. Didn't know how to use none of it.
Same shit.
Had to learn it.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, it just,
Nothing fucks with you. Nothing about nothing. You don't see nothing and be like, I need to create something in this.
Nah, nothing. I'm satisfied with life.
Right. From my opinion, I think just me seeing it, mm-hmm. it's like with how everybody treat your generation, just not even your generation, yeah. you guys, mm-hmm. NWA and stuff. Y'all are like, it's like y'all on Mount Olympus. It's like Zeus.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It's like Poseidon don't need nothing.
I mean,
like
even though in 2 weeks we get in a Grammy Lifetime Award.
Yeah,
and it's like, just, okay, that's cool, you know. It's just, yeah. I'm just satisfied with life.
What's the last thing that pumped you up? She was like, man, I kind of think I want to do fuck however we create, minus anything. I don't give a fuck if you woke up and wanted to draw a picture.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you felt like creatively you needed to express?
Not since, I can't remember. Since movies, that was it.
So DJ.
And I ended the movies the same way I did music. Okay, I'm done. It's over.
So you think DJing, as even when you have to DJ at this point and creating those daily mixes, when you have to kind of, like, not daily mixes, but when you go, because you always getting booked, like, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like what you're telling me, all kinds of shit, right? When you mix,
mm-hmm.
is that kind of like kind of the same thing where you're creating a flow?
I'm having fun DJing, like in the old days, when me and Dre was first DJs. That's the fun I'm having. It's because it's not, I got to create this. It's a different atmosphere, because like next week I go to Australia. I'm always out the country. And they still love hip hop.
Yeah.
Like the old days, the 80s and the 90s. They still got it. I don't know if it's because they behind times or whatever, but they still like the old school. And that's all I play is old school.
Yeah.
I don't play nothing new.
Well, everybody likes
it. Yeah, it's something about that music. It's got real soul in that music. It means something. And DJing is the same way. When I, just a few years ago, it came to me. DJing? I never wanted to DJ ever again. It just came to me. I'm like, nah, they don't use turntables. I'm like, well, wait.
Yeah, I said crazy.
I'm like, wait.
A little fucking controllers. And all, yeah.
But
then you got.
I jumped in it like, okay. But see, I jumped into different from everybody else. Everybody else just carried their needles, headphones. No, I'm bringing my unit. I want to be the same every night.
Cable.
The same equipment, sure. My same microphone. I think of it just like music.
Sure.
I'm doing it all.
So maybe it is DJing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a dope conversation with Lonzo about DJing.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him about, I was writing kind of these. I'm one of those type of creators where, like, I'll be focused on one idea, like OG,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about, where I'll make an album but behind I'm writing something.
Yeah.
So like I started writing kind of this hip hop story of the West Coast pre NWA.
Oh, okay.
Because all of us grew up like me, him, you know, he's younger than me. For our lives, NWA starts hip hop on the West Coast.
Okay, yeah.
But now you're starting to learn about Uncle Jam's Army.
Yeah.
You're starting to learn about, you know, World Class Wrecking Crew.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get into the clubs. And the
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I never knew niggas went to Alpine Village. Because when I right. got a car,
yeah.
niggas does not take your ass up there.
Yeah, you ain't going to tour.
Put your ass in jail. But with the people over there, the white folk. You know what I mean? So right. I was talking to Lonzo about that Alpine Village stuff. And so I started writing, but I was just starting to really notice how, like, y'all are the first that took to hip-hop DJ.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was dope.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So now for you to come back and love it is dope.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we love it, too. I think we even love it here still. I think we just don't have the opportunity.
Yeah.
I think I didn't travel not, like, nearly as much as you, but I didn't travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think America is such a victim of convenience.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever's current.
Yeah. You know, oh, yeah, yeah.
Whatever's easy.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me that if you don't put Yella or Battle Cat in some place at some bar DJing a set, we don't show up, especially if it's right there.
Yeah.
But I think the promoters are just lazy. It's like, oh, what's the next hot thing?
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they can call themselves promoters, but it's a totally different game.
Oh,
they're
not promoters. Yeah.
It just... A great flyer thing. They make on their phone or what? It's no.
And they make it on their phone.
Yeah, it's different, you know. Oh, Facebook and that don't mean nothing. I got 270,000 people on Instagram. Okay, but none of them live here, so I ain't dependent on filling this place up with the fan because they from all over the world.
I mean, I can change that, but we ain't gonna go there.
Yeah, that's a great conversation. Y'all make sure y'all link y'all up.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he will tap your shit in. But see, but again, this is one of those type of creative things that we just, I don't know. Like, and again, I don't know what NWA success feels. This is different. I mean, you start fucking the world up, you know, maybe you fuck up the world, you get tired, but it's so hard to imagine me not creating. Like, maybe not records. I could see that day. Even then, it's hard because I'm just starting to, like, I was hustling the whole time. So when hip hop saved my life, it was really
pulling me away. No, you still hustling.
Yeah.
It's just in you.
Well, now I'm not hustling at all. Yeah. Now I'm just in love with this shit.
Yeah. But it's still
records.
Hustling. It's still.
Yeah, but you're starting to find ways to. What I'm starting to find ways is like I gave you this vinyl.
Yeah.
I don't gotta be there to get the money.
Yeah.
Today, like I'm looking at my phone, so my homeboy outside of me and what I do and do my promotion, then my homeboy then strung to where people can order music directly from me.
Yeah.
And I sell my autograph album, my autograph CDs. I probably do 4 or 5 a day.
Yeah.
So I'm not there, and that is a cool way to because it don't feel like hustling now.
Yeah. It's the same, but it's just a. Cool. It's a new level.
But I just couldn't imagine not creating. You know what I mean? Like, like I said, I was writing something. I was writing the album that I just gave you.
Mm-hmm.
And then behind the scenes, I'm writing hip hop on the West Coast from 78
to 87. Yeah.
Just starting with Roger and Lonzo.
Oh, yeah.
How he told me the story, how they worked at Alpine Village together and then how they start going different and finding different DJs.
Yeah, when they became different. And then that's when I came right in. I mean, because when I came in, Dre was not even a thought.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2-3 years down the line before he even around.
Sure.
So I did all the legwork, hanging posters, snatching posters. See, back then, you know, it was like, this crew, us, we enemies. I mean, like Uncle Jam, we still enemies.
So listen, it's funny. So my man Super Six Edwin, who actually used to finance a lot of the Uncle Jam's Army,
Edwin with this the
drag race, right?
Yeah.
Edwin drag race with my dad.
Okay,
so I've been on Edwin since I was a little kid. But I didn't know Super Six. That's what we call him. I didn't know he was involved in nothing hip hop related.
Oh, okay.
Edwin is like this esteemed kind of grown.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when he talked to us. Yo, he's super cool.
I haven't seen him since them days.
He had a crazy stroke. I'm praying like.
Yeah. Lonzo told me.
But I'm saying when I realized that he was a part of it, and none of them will admit that it had to be a competition level. So the only people to ever admit it was you and Lonzo.
Yeah.
But I wrote the story, ironically, like these two competing party crews.
Wow.
Because that's what hip hop really is.
I mean, like,
no, it's a party.
My first time going out snatching posters, we call it the rip. You don't take the whole poster, you just rip the date and the time and the place. So all you see is Uncle Jay Army, nothing on the bottom. So I'm on Century and Western. It's a lot of poles on there. I'm ripping them. Roger show up. But I'm with my guy. He's 7'2".
Sure.
We both from Compton.
Yeah.
We don't know nothing about this.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Roger.
Yeah, Roger never was from. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they out South Central.
And I got a 5-pound staple gun in my hand. And he come up, you know, they come up on us like, what you doing? I'm snatching these posters. Them is my poster. Okay. What? You know, we like, what you gonna do? You don't know me.
Yeah.
We from Compton.
Hands in.
You don't want to mess with us. And that was the first time I've ever met him right there. They didn't say nothing else, but we kept on putting our posters on top of their posters, right in their face.
That was crazy. So what was the competing venues at that point?
It was, well, we had the club, the Eve After Dark.
Yeah,
we had a steady play. They would do veterans.
No, they did the
college, different places. The sports arena. It was just, but then there was another crew called the Virgin Productions. They hung their posters on ours.
Who the fuck is that?
I think their career was over after this one night because the Wrecking Crew, we all went to their dance before, you know, early. We mopped them up.
Really?
Right?
Wait a minute, who in the Wrecking Crew at this class that's mopping motherfuckers up?
It was Lonzo, me, unknown DJ. So it was like unknown. A whole from that neighborhood. It was a bunch of us.
So unknown was with, so unknown in the fucking with Uncle Jam at Vince.
No. No.
Well, how did he
unknown.
Do his cut?
Well, that was after the Wrecking, after Eve After Dark ended, and we started doing music.
Sure.
That's how I ended up doing that.
That's cool. But see, that's
but unknown was there before me in the Wrecking Crew.
I never knew that.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, you a youngster.
Yeah. No, but I always tell Dre, I'm telling you, I tell Cube, y'all do a horrible job of telling. Like,
if you read my book, you know.
And that's what I had to do. I didn't even know you had a book.
Oh, that's mama.
You know what I'm saying? But yeah, we got to know this shit.
Yeah.
Because this is the funniest shit about it. Like, I always share with the homies because, like, it's a party. These niggas was all partying because somewhere when we came up in the game, we were just all gangmen.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, we did go to party. You go punching in other people's community, but you didn't realize that's what hip hop was about.
Yeah.
Somehow we looked at NWA as if it wasn't fun. You know what I mean? Because it was fun. Yeah. The music was very active.
Yeah.
Even the World Class Wrecking Crew was all fun shit. But somewhere along the line, it got away from that concept of, this all is the descendant of party.
Because there was no money. Early days of NWA, Wrecking Crew, there was no money.
This girl.
That's it. That was my pay.
Yeah.
If you could talk your game.
Get you up in here.
That's it.
You know you come up in here. Finna get you, ain't got to pay. Feel me? You know I'm the man.
So we had a different drive. Well, I can't speak for them. I had a different drive. It was about the girl. It was about nothing else. It wasn't about the money. And then my whole career had never been about money.
It can't be, though.
I don't care about money.
It can't be.
It's nothing.
I tell him that all the time, and he think I'm crazy. I'm like, when you
really. But that's not what the music. Don't get it.
Even music.
I'm not attacking the music for money, though. You know that.
No, not like that. I mean, none of it can be about money. Because if it's about money, I really genuinely believe you sell it short.
Yeah.
Like, you have to kind of be entrenched. Like in entrenched in just fucking shit
up. Absorbing it.
Fucking shit up. Just if you gonna promote, you got the best party on the block. If you gonna make record, your record gonna jam the hardest. This is kind of the people to me who really get paid. This is what they're thinking.
Yeah.
They cannot be thinking of how to make money because you would take too many shortcuts.
Yeah. Well, now I think nowadays it's about the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's overnight, you know. Your success overnight, do something on TikTok or whatever, and you're a hit. You know, it's like, Effort, no skill.
But it'd be gone quick, too.
Yeah.
So you can get the barriers of entry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, even when I first came, like, my engineer Guido, you remind me of Guido, mm-hmm. JLE, but that nigga slammed the door in my face. Like, you got to get tighter. Like, remember, everybody didn't have a studio. This
was 3-4.
Everybody didn't have no fucking studio.
Oh, yeah.
Not more people had it than fucking 1990, but everybody didn't have it. So, we recording on that. That means you got to pay to record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All this crazy shit. And somebody really got to know how to work
yeah.
this shit.
Yeah.
It ain't just in the box.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I mean, and especially in our day, that's why we learned everything. Mixing, court, everything. Yeah, from scratch.
Who you didn't know.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking about that, but so Unknown DJ who originally was in the World Class Radio Crew?
Alonzo.
When you first came.
Unknown. And then the other people that were just wasn't DJs. Dr. Rock. That was one of the first DJs. I don't know who that is. Dr. Rock. He was a Wrecking Crew. He was the main DJ there. He from right around the corner from the E.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Dr. Ron. Dr. Dre came. Where'd his name come from? But yeah, Rock was there, and it's so funny. He was the hottest DJ. When I got there, he was only there 1 week. The next week he vanished.
Hold on, that was just a bar that you say, like how there was a dude named Dr. Rock
and then
Dre. And then Dre coming in behind and he like, I'm just gonna have a name like him. I'm not saying like that, but that is what happens, right? And then that person becomes even bigger. And I know Dr. Rock, like, hold up. Like, I'm the doctor. Like, everybody look at him as the doc. And I know that has to be kind of irritating to a certain degree, but you get, that's part of the game, too, where you got to be like, man, I gave Dre his name. He's looking up to me. You might.
Yeah, but Dre
not know that. But
Dre wasn't even thought of. It was a couple of years.
Yeah, I know. So for even 2-3 years, I get it. Like, That's an ill thing. How you just said that. I didn't want to just breeze over that too. Yeah. I'm like, that's crazy.
Shout out to Dr. Rock.
Shout out to Dr. Rock.
Yeah, because he went, he had to leave town because some guys or something, he let them use their car, whatever it happened, and something happened, he had to leave. He went to Texas.
And they got a regular job.
Nah, he went and been, he was a DJ in Texas. Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death.
Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
So that was the first class you was taking down the rips poster.
That's Rip. Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
So did you ever sit down? Did you ever talk to Roger?
Nah.
Never?
No,
did you ever go to all that was jam shit?
Never. Because I was DJing. Yeah. So me and Lonzo would go up, like when they first did the sports arena.
Yeah.
We'd get up there early and just check it out. And that was it. We'd go back to the club. But yeah, and I mean, they was the enemy. Anybody besides us was the enemy.
That's dope, though. How does Lior play into this? Was he anything of a promoter at that time?
Who?
The white man, Lior Cohen. I know they said he was a promoter, but I don't know if he was a factor. He's from L.A. The dude that was running Def Jam, that's over YouTube Music.
I don't know. I never heard of him.
That's just crazy.
He was a promoter.
He's
from L.A.
Now I didn't even know Lior was from L.A.
I think Lior was hanging out mostly on New York, though. He was doing a lot of, was he Def Jam?
No, Lior is originally a dude from L.A. Like, he'd been out here, went to college out here. He was promoting on the same.
Really?
Okay. I'm telling you, man, I've been getting the game. Lonzo, in school, he'd be like, yeah, that dude, and different people say, man, I know him.
Well, for people listening, explain about how the family tree under Lior Cohen, like who he's responsible for.
So everybody that signed a Def Jam post 1984.
There you go.
Oh,
that wow. He signed them. All these people signed to YouTube. He started 300.
Oh, wow.
He's like one of the most powerful people in the music business. Right now, he's over YouTube.
Oh,
he's okay. Like a brilliant man, but he's from
LA.
Mm. He was I think he's a Jewish man
he's from
promotes parties.
You're not from.
Nah, he's not from here, but he's from somewhere else. But he cut his bones right here in LA.
Really?
And around the same time, Russ came and got the Posse, mm-hmm. Daryl and all them. So yeah. Shout out to LA Posse, Daryl, Bobcat, Pooh,
yeah.
Buff and them. He met Lior.
Oh,
Lior
okay.
Became kind of like over management for Def Jam, over Rush.
Oh, okay.
So Lior started signing all of the stuff. So that was a part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
Again, LA don't really, the West Coast in general don't get a lot of credit.
Don't get none.
Hip hop. But yeah, we was important even in Def Jam because, before that, you had to me, it seemed like you had to have like hella like weird acts like Beastie Boys. Like you have a punk rock group that makes hip-hop.
Well, they had to get on the radio.
Yeah.
We had no radio play on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's crazy. Y'all went gold and platinum with no radio play and just
zero.
People just.
Exactly.
Like, no video play because MTV banned us.
Hell yeah. Man, I didn't realize they had banned Rick James too.
Hey, did they really?
You were in good company.
Wow. I mean, at the time, that sounded like a bad thing. Like, they banned us, but I would love it.
Because that was the only thing, the only way you could see videos.
If YouTube and Instagram was like, we banned it, Metro, I would love it. I'd be like, yes.
Oh, yeah, but that's what helped.
Like, we got to.
If you market it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so what they do is, like, I go through a lot of that stuff now because my music is so, like, culturally salty that they kind of shadow ban it. And they won't ban you because they like, oh, it's talent, but you can't market it.
Yeah. Can't be saying cancel these nuts everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm just talking crazy. I'm just talking shit.
Buy it in stores now.
Why, is this too raw?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's...
I mean, but it's real.
Nobody want real. Nah. Nobody want what people really say.
Nah.
So when you... I just, I'll never forget. I make Tupac Must Die, right? And to me, it's brilliant, right? It's crazy, right? Shout out to Nick. Nick is on the mic. Nick is actually the... one of the most important programmers on the West Coast, right here, iHeart, you feel me? KGGI, out in IE. So when I said Tupac Must Die, he was like, Because it was like a thing, right? But to me, making that song, I was just thinking what hip hop was, right? This is me after meeting Eric B. This is after meeting Herc. This is after sitting down, all the knowledge finally coming together, and I could make sense out of hip hop as this street urban kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And we giving people an entry into a life they didn't even believe exists.
Okay.
So I'm circling myself back to 82. Right. So we make that good by ourselves. That was my first gold record, and we made it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was no label.
Yeah.
This is just me understanding the party. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna get in a party. He's a nigga who don't even like the party. Like, yeah. I'm gonna make me a party song. And I competed and I got me one, right? Now I'm figuring out hip hop, got records, now I'm getting marketing. I'm like, damn. So hip hop kind of is like this take into this world that people didn't believe Compton was real.
Yeah,
like all exactly. The shit that y'all was talking about niggas, it was like, man, G, it ain't really. Like, yeah, it is. It's fun, but yeah, that's pretty much the attitude. Everybody talk like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't, like, I had a conversation with Doc. He's like, man, I don't know, man. I feel like we influenced so much bullshit. No, y'all just was saying the shit niggas was saying.
Yeah.
I could see if you came up with some of this shit, but you ain't the first one to say it, nigga. Call a woman a bitch. This was normal. I heard all these niggas talking like this. Big G rated them, this how they talk.
Right.
So as I'm kind of making my own journey in modern times through, you know, basic hip hop, it was like, what does Fuck the Police sound like today?
Mm.
Like, Fuck the Police today don't sound like that. They play that shit on CNN.
Yeah.
White man be like, fuck the police. When like, them niggas made that shit when I was a kid, I remember black churches being mad as fuck. Man, this motherfucker's finna get people killed.
Fuck the Police today is Pound Town, my Pussy Pink, my Booty Old Brown, and Sexy Red type shit. It's, you know what I mean? Shit that makes it's the shock factor to a degree.
It's different,
riling
right?
People up.
Only because it just wasn't like that song. I don't even know why people make it. All them things are accurate.
Yeah.
Who cares? Exactly. They're just making a big deal out of something that's really late. Yeah. It wasn't really like a prolific stance.
No.
Right. So,
the audacity, like we talk about.
Sure. Yeah.
The audacity.
Tell people your pussy pink. Like everybody had no pussy. You got a good point though.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it. Right. I'm like, what does this sound like? So now and this is crazy how I chronicle my career, right? I'm like, okay, I got my party song.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm right here at the World Class Record. Now, how do I get to Straight Outta Compton? What does that sound like today? What's the stance culturally? I mean, that people don't know. Where can I invite them to that they never thought this is how niggas like where I'm from think?
Mm-hmm.
So I start, I swear to God, it was this deep. Yeah. I start looking up the word culture, fashion, location, religion. One of the words was morality.
Mm-hmm.
Swear to God, it was like morality. That's a part of culture. Things that, you know, certain places think is right and wrong.
Yeah.
So I'm looking, I'm like, damn, morality. I ain't never heard N.W.A. They made a song about attitude, but morality is, I can go deeper. You know what I mean? Mind you, these motherfuckers been putting on for the coast for 40 years, so everybody know us.
Right.
Everybody know everything about our culture. Every street urban culture, they know everything. Them niggas argue with me about gang.
Really,
I argue with them. I'll be like, bro, yeah, it's really just you and your friends. No, it's more. It has to be more. You have to follow a rule and there's bylaws. You have to sign. It's not like that. You and your friends, bro. You know what I mean? It's really you and the guys you grew up with. And right. Sometimes shit happen and you got to handle it, you know, right there.
Exactly.
But I'm working on it. I'm looking at morality. I'm studying it. And I'm like, damn, so what's a moral stance that we all have right here that nobody else has? And I came up with two different ideas because I realized from a marketing standpoint, it had to be a story everybody knew. They just didn't know our side of the story.
Yeah.
So I came up with two ideas. Remember, it was
the John Wilkes Booth?
No. That was one for the TV show.
Oh, okay.
I wrote this dope TV show, yeah, Two Sides. The one about the LA riots. Yeah. When we talked about how the dudes from A-Trey started the riot.
Oh, yeah.
Monster.
Yeah.
I had that idea, and I kind of finagled the idea called Any White Man to Do, or Tupac Must Die, right? Which was kind of this story about how if you jump somebody where we from,
yeah,
we all know you might get shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And can't nobody.
Yeah. Have you guys heard it?
Yeah, I have.
Take a listen to
the
lyrics.
It's
crazy.
It's more the visual.
Sure, all the time. Yeah, they think of it. And to me, it was like Shakespeare and shit. I was like,
exactly.
And part of it.
The title is so disrespectful. And I'm like, disrespectful? Yeah. Like, trust me, if you jump a nigga from where we from, they not going to say, you must die. It's not going to come out that way.
And that's the part of the title, too, came on, like, me with him talking so much about marketing and stuff. Me telling them, like, yo, people buy into two things, like movies and movements. So if you have, like, NWA had a movement.
Yeah.
Another thing, I was like, we don't have a big movement, but you are one of the best storytellers ever. Like, so I'm like, it needs to be like a movie. And then you think of Romeo Must Die, John Tucker Must Die. Those are movies. So it was just a play off of that. So we just took everybody to the movies over the weekend. So it just, like, how he reacted to it. Like, everybody was like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? It ain't something you keep revisiting over and over, but you remember if you've seen it, it's like, I've seen that. Like, you know what I mean? And yeah, that was the, a lot of thinking. People just.
And it's like, no, Glass, because you're saying he must die. I'm like, bro, that's not tough. That is, if I, it'd be like, fuck Tupac. Or,
yeah.
I hate Tupac. Like, that's what we would say, but it's, you know, Shakespearean to say it's poetic.
Yeah.
This person must die. But long story short, as I started to figure out the idea, and I'm like, okay, I know how we all know how it goes. So I just need to explain how it goes. But that kind of became me getting into 1988. Mm. I was like, okay, let me write this kind of this cultural take about something that everybody knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, to me, when we first was doing it, you know, Metro co-producing a joint and I'm like, okay, this is cool. And even making the video, it was so second nature because this is like something that I went through.
Right.
I think I jumped by niggas and I'm busting them niggas.
Right, exactly.
Jumped me like that.
Yeah.
Could have gave me a head up. Nigga, y'all know me.
You're right. So,
yeah, it made sense. But watching, like, y'all have like this hella crazy blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole generation. And I don't just mean NW. I'm talking about the first day you got a fucking turntable.
Yeah.
It's a hella DNA right there that we don't really focus. And I'm glad I learned it.
Yeah.
So even sitting down talking with you, you know, I never thought I was going to come ask Yella about it. Nigga, I know your life. Nigga, they made a movie. Nigga, I know niggas that know you.
Yeah.
They told me you was early in DJ. Yella, you know, I know niggas that know you.
Yeah.
So I know the story of it, but just to really politic with somebody who has the experience of where, like, I finally fell in love with hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
Now I get to talk to somebody that saw it start.
Yeah.
Not 1987.
Yeah.
But 1979.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Coolio was telling me he was right. Like, I was rapping in 79. Rest of soul.
Coolio used to come when I DJed. Coolio used to come there and dance.
To Eve?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm thinking, right, that's in the Athens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a nigga from Mona Park going to the Athens, I guess it probably wasn't that bad.
Yeah, nah. The colors. Because I was from a totally different neighborhood than that.
Sure.
I was out of pocket there. Yeah. But I had the pass. Sure.
So I could imagine how Coolio was going to the Athens. Right. That's crazy.
But you know what, Glasses, did Lonzo ever tell you who kind of kept it, you know what I mean, for the gangs wouldn't be tripping.
Ooh.
A cat named, he from the West Side, named Yellow Ice.
Nah, tell me about him.
Well, Lonzo told me, and I heard it from Yellow Ice, his real name is Keith Duncan. Lonzo, because I even asked him, I said, man, he's like, yeah, well, Keith kept everything, you know, peaceful, you know what I mean, because he knew a lot of people from both sets. You know what I mean? From both, I mean, multiple hoods, not this, sure. But Lonzo said he's the one kind of kept the peace where he didn't have no gang violence going on up there at the Eve After Dark.
West Side's always been a really influential, even before it was like extra gang. Like, I remember when you really start hearing about them in a violent way is when you got to it with the nothing. But previous to that, they were really influential, you know, get some money, and they were meant something in the grand scheme of what was happening.
Right.
So that's dope to hear that. Eve, that's crazy because I think about that all the time, and I was just looking at that Super Bowl performance. And that was cool. I like when they give hints at where all this shit started at.
Yeah, what'd you think about that when you seen that on the Super Bowl?
I thought that was player. I thought it was important. I'm always on Dre and them. Like, even Dre was cussing us out about Tupac. He was cussing me and Metro out about Tupac. Man, goddamn it, classes. Y'all, he's got some shit going on. It's like, yeah. So, and him cussing me out just made me smile. Like,
right, okay. Yeah.
He knew I was just getting off. Because it was like, this is just hip-hop. This is not a stance. This ain't, right. I didn't full say fuck nobody. This is just me being dope and people being so, like I said, intrigued with how he grew up.
Did you explain to him, though, that that's not what the record's about?
Well, once he figured it out, it made sense. And then everybody else told him. I don't think he actually looked at him or DJ Quick. Quick cussed me out.
Quick gave you a hard time about it.
Man, Quick did a concert somewhere and he was on stage going off. Man, fuck glasses. Punk motherfucker talking shit about Tupac, and I'm just looking at the shit laughing in the video like, look at this nigga.
Yeah, me and G was kind of nudging each other about like, look at all this shit, like this shit.
It was amazing. I felt like it wasn't
a reach.
NWA.
A lot of people thought it was like a reach, like a Hail Mary, and it's like, no, we actually curated and concocted something on purpose. Like, we can continually do this. It was just to see how many people froze up for 2-3 weeks and everybody was, yeah, it was like.
Corrupt, okay, cussing like, me out. But I think the initial gangsterism of it, the nerve.
Yeah, because once audacity.
They heard it, we talk about
always the audacity.
Nigga ain't got nothing else. He ain't got $2, but he got some audacity.
Exactly.
But no, it was like when they all saw it, they was like, "Oh, I get it." Even Dre, even, "Oh man, I get it. That shit is dope. I'm tripping." But I get it. You know what I mean? Right. It was like, you know, I could imagine. Like I asked him when they put out "Fuck the Police" and how crazy it was. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, man, I don't, you know, yeah, but. Now you look at that song, that is not how it was. Right.
No.
That is not how that shit is now. That shit is the theme of the world. And CNN and Don Lemon up there, fuck the police. Not how it was, bro. It was fucked up.
Yeah. I think when that came out, the world was upset at them for putting that out. You know what I mean? It was like,
dare you say that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're talking about the hero.
Yeah,
you made a song right now. Fuck the fire.
It's just funny.
What?
Fuck you know something? All it was, we just had the balls to say it. People been saying it all the time. Yeah, you know, in our days, you didn't say it to a cop.
Yeah.
Now they all in the cop family. Yeah, I'll be filming it. I'm like,
I swear to God, I'll be looking. I'll be like, he should fuck you up. Don't tell nobody else I said this on the podcast. Some of y'all deserve to get y'all ass whooped.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be talking to no human being that way. They be in the cop. Fuck you, motherfucker. Quoting NWA lyrics. Don't get fucked up. Ain't no song, nigga. My homeboy, my boy Jesse. Shout out to Jesse, my boy Jesse, who I, you know, we came up street racing together. He got a police job. So he's like a traffic cop. And he be pulling people like, watch this. Sometimes he be on the phone with me and let me hear and our people talking to him. They'll be doing, he'll be like, this motherfucker been on the phone for 10 minutes. I'm just following him. He don't even see me. I see, he said, watch, I pull him up. Watch how they talk to me. Jeez. Talk to me crazy. Pull him over. He's like, well, you know, you've been on your phone. Well, no, I was looking at the map. I've been sitting next to you. No, you just making shit up. See, that's the fucking problem with the pole. And they just start going bad. And
right.
Jesse from the jungles.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So he like, fuck y'all motherfuckers. You motherfuckers think y'all too good? He like, nigga, I'm from the jungles. He be like, Z, this motherfucker from Cerritos talking shit to me. You know what I mean? So I'm not like, even when I talk to Doc and them, like, I don't blame hip hop for this.
Yeah, right.
I think hip hop definitely gives you some nuts. Now, how you use your nuts is different. I don't give a fuck how many NWA signs come on. I ain't never said that to the police.
Lying.
I done said some shit to all kind of human beings. I'm not going to talk to no nigga that could legally kill me like this.
Yeah.
I always figured out as a young nigga fighting the court. I don't give a fuck what nobody had to tell me that. Something about talking to crazy to a motherfucker with a gun just never made sense.
Yeah, right. He got a badge. Like when I was in Trinidad, one of the cops, sidebar real quick, just on the police and the leverage they have. They said they'll have undercover police. They'll know drug dealers is selling drugs on the corner. They'll go up, literally shoot the dude, just shoot him in the head and then drop a knife next to him and be like, he attacked me, and write a police report that he attacked him and they have to shoot him. And I'm like, that's how they get rid of drug dealers in Trinidad. I'm like, That's crazy. Like, if they was doing that out here, like,
they used to do shit like
just damn,
it just dome you. It wasn't no cameras.
Yeah, dome you in the head and be like, drop a knife next to you. He attack you.
I guess as a gang member and as a D-boy, you know, for whatever being a gang member means, but as a D-boy for sure, I understood their conflict with me. It made sense to me. Mm-hmm. You have a necessary purpose in the community. My job is to not get caught. Your job is catch. That didn't make me hate you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't hate the defensive end if I'm the quarterback of the team. I get it. This is our job. But some people, man, they, like I said, the homie be doing shit and they be like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's like, bro, you've been on your phone 10 minutes. One time, one of them pulled over jail felony and jail didn't have no motherfucking driver's license. He was like, he called me. He was like, gee, what's up? I'm like, what's happening? He like, man, you fuck with jail felony? I'm like, yeah, nigga, I love jail felony. He's like, all right, for you, that nigga gonna be able to keep his car.
Oh, wow. I mean,
swear to God.
That's what's up.
Shout out to jail, because jail gave his car. He called me like, gee, good looking out. It's like, nigga, that is weird. I don't know how that happened to Steele's son, too.
Oh, man. Wow.
Chris Steele asked Chris, played professional football. He got pulled over by the homie. The homie called me. He's like, hey, is this nigga really your nephew? That's my nephew. Lucky, nigga, I know your uncle, nigga.
Wow.
That nigga crazy.
Yeah.
So I've always believed in having paid police friends.
You ain't lying.
You know what? I get NWA's plight, but I'm always like, nah, I'm not going to. I'm going to be on my own side, but I ain't going to be saying, fuck y'all. I did a song with AD. You go look it up. It's a song with AD and one of my other homeboys. And it's a fuck the police song. And my whole verse is explaining why I'm not saying fuck the police. Because I genuinely believe, like, you better mean this shit. And if I ain't talking about shooting nobody, I ain't got no business in. Fuck. When the whole Black Wall Street shit first started with the G on this shit and Gang was putting together shit, he was like, G, man, we finna diss them niggas. You trying to jump on? Nah. I've been at the shoot at 50 and them. So I'm going to do this other song. You want me to do this song? Okay, cool. This ain't diss nobody. All right, cool. I can't get in the middle of this shit that I don't believe in shooting a nigga.
That's right.
And my friends really will shoot you about this shit. I had to be really careful.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals. Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
So Australia, how long is that trip like? What does that look like for you now?
It's about 50 hours of flying, 45 minutes set.
I just see. So it's one day.
Yes.
Damn. All the way to Australia for one.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Sydney is the closest. Yeah. I'm going to Perth, which is 6 hours from that. So, like from New York to LA.
So it's a 24 and a half hour flight.
20, I think it's 21 plus airport time plus going.
Yeah.
Like a whole day.
A whole real day. Yeah. I like how our kids said day, like 12 hours. No, for real. So then you drive 6 hours. That's crazy. I just sold.
No, we fly another 6 hours.
Oh, it's 6 hours of flight?
Yeah.
No,
so it's across the Sydney. Country. Sydney, then Perth.
Six, yeah.
So it's like landing in New York mm-hmm. and then I had to go to LA. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on the other end, wow. And your set is 45.
45 minutes.
That's what it. What kind of event is it?
So I don't know. Because I don't DJ parties. I don't DJ the dance. But no, they just look like a performance. Like yeah. So it's just.
I seen Jeff do it.
Oh, okay.
That's Jeff.
Yeah.
How's your set like that? Do you work on it? Do you even work it when you get home or at this point?
Nah.
So you got your blends from samples.
It's already set. I'm set.
How creative do you like to go with that shit?
I mean, I do more talking. You know, DJs don't talk on mics no more. I don't know why, but that's how I grew up. You had to talk. You had to get the point. To me, a DJ is not what you do. It's can you keep the party going from this time to that time? That's all. It ain't about nothing else. If the floor is empty, you ain't doing your job.
Who is your favorite DJ, dog?
Me.
Who's your second favorite DJ?
Me. I never looked at other DJs.
You never saw another DJ?
Except Dre, because we had DJ first, and then he come on. Yeah.
Right. I'm talking to that nigga. So that was, I mean, you never like no other person?
I never seen any, because in the DJ days, we was always in the club DJing. So I never... I've never been to clubs seeing other DJs.
That's how I feel as a rapper. Everybody, my first concert, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was rapping it.
Yeah.
Like, people would ask me about it. They'd be like, man, glad you ever seen NWL. I was like, nigga, I lived it. I had the same experiences, nigga. So you didn't look at it like that. But now I kind of find myself catching those moments when I can.
Oh, really?
I got to check you out. I got to come see it.
So the first concert you went to, you was actually rapping.
At the Normandy Casino in Gardena.
Oh, wow.
That's the other one.
Yeah.
Couldn't
remember.
The Hustler took over.
2005. You lying.
Never went to a concert. I never even wanted to. Because I really believed in the music as like a soundtrack to how we live.
Yeah.
Like I was living it. Like when Dub C, the Shadiest One came out, we was in Low Riders going on the Boulevard. I was fresh out of high school.
So how old are you, Glasses?
Now I'm 43.
Okay.
44. Shit. So we just lived it, dog.
Who was on that ticket with you? You remember?
No, I did it myself.
Oh, wow.
My whole journey into hip hop has been like God replaced. So I know this is a little talking too freely, so forgive me, but I had a popping ass shine spot on 118th in the Monas. And when I lost it, like, I tried to open back up a couple, but shit just was, everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Mm.
So I came up with this idea to start a record label, and I brought it to Kiki Loco. I was like, man, I'm going to start a record label. And everybody looked at me crazy, even all my homeboys. It's like, nigga, you don't know nothing about rapping. I'm like, yeah, but I could rap. Like, I got a rhythm, and I'm articulate. I ain't never drank or smoked, so I'm sober. Like, I could, I'm a great storyteller already. And so I started working on it and I got good at it. But it was all to replace the business I lost. So I opened the record label. So my first concert, nobody booked me for it. We booked it ourselves.
Oh, wow.
We sold all our CDs ourselves. I mean, we came in with the same mentality of hustling drugs. And that's why I'm saying initially I was hustling. Everything about it was making money or how does it help the business. 2011, I started falling in love with the craft, the art of it all, and what made it special. And then I started sharing it with my little bro, with Metro, like, hey, fool, like, it can't be about money. Dre used to say that, man, it can't be about no money. Like, rich ass nigga talking about it can't be about no money.
But you know what? That's the same thing he tell me all the time.
And I get it. Like, and it sound crazy. I remember it sounded crazy to me. Nigga, I get it. Niggas ain't crazy. I tell him and he think I'm crazy.
But that'd be the hard thing. Like I said, I'm 40, right? I got a 17-year-old, 12-year-old. I got a wife. I'm making music 20 years. You can't even do this 8 years, 9 years. Like, ain't no money. We just doing it for the love. Wife's like, where the money?
See, like, you sound
where
the like money me. Is at?
It's different. Now, granted, I get what he's saying, but I know what. See, I'm telling you, them niggas is the same nigga. Dre Yell is the same. Same shit. So, because I don't know how Dre really. He act like he be in there wanting to do something. That nigga just like, man, we just going to do some shit. But you have to be driven by the purpose of whatever it is.
Of course.
Like, if you making songs for the party, you got to want, like, your whole purpose got to be how to make the party go crazy with this song. When you making a film, like, how do you, you know, carry out the shit? And it got to be that way. You do business to make money.
I mean, don't let them confuse you. My label called Timeless Music. So my initial, I wasn't like, I'm about to try to get rich. I'm going to go make rap. Like, no, I'm in love with this and this is what I'm spending my life on. So this needs to generate business so I can take care of myself. Right. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, let's go get rich. I'm going to make some records. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah, just so that's not misconstrued on my,
the
angle.
Saying, like what he said to you, it is just a business, but it can't be about the money. Like,
yeah.
The business is just the business, but you got to be, I'm telling you right now, I'll be driven by different shit. Like when I opened up my site that's doing good now, the Crip Store, like I wasn't really worried about making money. I was like, yo, I'm finna open up something, make a store where people could come and they feel like a guilty pleasure coming to buy something from the Crip Store. You know, who goes to the CripStore.com? You know what I mean? That's how I'm thinking. I'm thinking like them niggas thought then, and then you just do the business. The business going to pay you anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I did my first thing at the Normandy Casino, my older brother, shout out to Pooh, but Pooh wanted me to sell tickets for, it was a guy named Sean Healy. Mm-hmm. He would make all the rappers sell tickets to open up for like different huge acts, right? To get in front of big audience. But he would charge you for the tickets. So he'd charge you $3,000 and you'd have to sell 300 tickets to get your money back.
Oh,
And I remember my brother came to me and was like, man, you know, we gonna give him $3,000 and he gonna let us open up for, who was it at that time? Somebody, maybe Lloyd Banks or something. Mm-hmm. Somebody popping in 2004. And I remember looking like, 2005. I'm like, I'm not paying nobody to bring people to that. That shit just didn't make sense to me as a fucking Why the fuck I'm gonna pay you? I know enough people to come bring. And so I remember telling my older brother, like, yeah, we should just find a venue. And then we gonna book it ourselves. And this shit, I've been street racing, low riding, gang members, selling drugs. We know a lot of people.
Yeah.
We'll make them pay us to come see me rap.
Exactly.
He looked at me crazy. He was like, nigga, ain't nobody finna just. I'm like, yeah, my CD been out there. We hustling it. Everybody know it. And they fuck with us. They fuck with me. So they gonna pay. And I remember that was our first show. And I sold the tickets, $10 pre-sale, $15 at the door. My first concert, I made $4,000.
Wow.
My first one. My third concert was for Freaky Dre, Rest in Peace from Southside.
Oh, right on.
They booked me for their private event. But I refuse to pay other people to rap.
Yeah. I never, and when I hear about that, people paying to be, I'm like, you pay to be on stage for a couple of times? I'm like, what? I've never heard of that. I'm like,
game's so saturated.
Because the way we grew up, we never had to perform in front of somebody, trying to get somebody to like. We just did our own stuff. And this pay to be an opening act. What? That don't make sense. It never made sense to me. I'm like,
I think the way they look at that, though, is almost like a form of advertising. You know what I'm saying?
For like, exactly.
I mean, it's like.
Yeah, but then I look at it like,
why are you doing 10,000 songs and nobody know who you are? You up there doing a concert.
I know you are a song.
Yeah.
I opened up for Yella. I opened up for Glass Malone. You know what I mean? It's like.
It's a different breed now. It's totally different. I get you. That,
notoriety, that clout or whatever for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Your career. You know, and that's what they're paying for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I never understood it.
I'm with you. First day, I was like, no, sir. I will not pay.
Hey, can I ask a question? Uh-huh. Like, when you see stuff like, I don't know if you've noticed it, but like Hit-Boy producing albums for Nas, right? Like the younger generation working with the older generation. Is it people that you see on the West Coast that's younger, like a generation where you're like, man, I'd like to work with more people that you, do you ever want to like be in a mix at? Because I feel like me as a producer, like seeing y'all generation, like on the West Coast, there is like a disconnect where we talk about that. Like Battlecast should be producing Zoe Sama records. So, you know what I mean? Warren G should be producing Wally the Sensei records. You know what I mean? Like it needs to be, it can't be like, well y'all, we did our thing and y'all got to figure it out too.
But it's to me, they just separate. You know, they just.
But like we said,
I don't
earlier,
think they ever get together.
But I was like he was saying, I feel like I'm from your tree. I like, you know what I'm saying? So when you, he feels like he's from Ice Cube tree.
Yeah.
So if y'all feel like there's a disconnect, that's where it'd be like, it's like cutting off your kids to a degree. Yeah. Like, yeah, y'all figure it out. Grow up without a dad. Now, obviously y'all figured it out on your own and we are going to figure it out. Like the next generation gonna come with or without whoever's coming. People are gonna figure it out. But do you ever be feeling like you want to work with the younger generation or rub those elbows and kind of, or is it? Like,
I mean,
nah,
probably if I was doing music, that'd be a smart way.
Yeah.
To get with the new.
Yeah. The next generation. People, yeah. When I think of like with Chronic 2001, I'll just be like, or not even Chronic 2001, like Detox. I'd be thinking like, man, Dre just missed the opportunity to have obviously Corrupt, you know, Daz, all of them, Eminem, Snoop, Dre, and he could have had Glasses, Problem, Nipsey Hussle, J-Rock. Like, that was sitting right there in 2007-08, and he just didn't grab it. And it's like, he would have been responsible for that whole next generation to be like, yeah, Dre. And he just was like, nah, y'all figure it out. That's kind of how I feel.
But I'm going to tell you in his defense, and I cannot believe I'm defending it. But
the New West Press. Exactly.
But it's really be the landscape, like, I don't think it was the rappers he had the problem with. I think he didn't have a sonic landscape that he felt comfortable, like he felt confident about.
Yeah.
When you start making music, you got to have like a feel that's going on and then you catch something and then you rock. And I just think he just never caught that feel again about it as far as the landscape of music as a whole. We'll talk to him. We're going to see him and ask him. But I just think the whole music landscape shifted. I think you have to DJ.
Yeah.
I think what makes hip hop great is you have to DJ. When you DJing, you know what's moving everybody at a party.
Yeah.
You know what's making everybody feel good. And then the day you stop DJing, that could last a long time based off how much time you put in. But eventually, like, you have to be
in tune with the streets.
What's going on.
Yeah. I think, as you make more money, your fangs ain't as sharp. You're not as hungry.
Oh, yeah.
You get a remove from the street. You're on planes.
It is hard to
duplicate
what you did.
I mean,
you come out with a hit album. Most of the time,
you come out without not a hit album.
Yeah, you're never going to go.
But I think the thing too is like, I don't think we ever want Dre to make another Fuck the Police or make another Chronic 2001 or exactly the Chronic. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, let's say Kanye, right? With somebody like Kanye, it's like how much he changed directions and stuff. None of his stuff really sound the same. And his fan base kind of follows him and kind of still support him as a person.
I mean, that's what if you still trying to make music over years, you have to change.
Of course. Yeah.
I mean, you like to stay your own style, but you'll be in the dust.
Yeah.
I mean, Too Short kind of got
but Too Short's still the same.
And I think we don't want that. That's true. Like I was hella critical when Drake dropped Compton, that sonic landscape. I was like, God damn it. I need funk.
Yeah.
It has to be hard for any creative to be like, because you don't want to have a hit album and then.
And I know you're sitting at, like I said, you're sitting at Mount Olympus. It's only down you could go. So it do make you be kind of like, I don't know about putting out nothing. Because, I know he probably look at Compton like yeah, it came out at number two. Like, damn it. Like, it feels like a.
And I'm sure when it left his hand, he felt confident about it. But then, like, if it. I mean, art is art. But then I think most people, you know, still in the music business. So you, no matter who, you still want to compete to some degree. I mean, maybe you don't. But I think if you've been winning as long as some of them been winning, like, you want to compete. You don't want to get your ass.
Yeah, I see. You see it with Eminem. You see it with him. He be very much trying to still be like, I'm still better than all y'all. And I'm still like, you know what I mean? You see that, you know, so I don't know. I guess it's different people. We are individuals, yeah. You know, but.
And then you may feel, like I said, it's I don't think he ever had the problem with MCs because all of us was already working with us. Like, but I think it got to a place to where it was like the music, man, this music shit is great. So much shit. And then when you got it, you got it. You're on fire. Don't is like, where you looking in the dark, searching for it. Like, where is this shit at? You know what I'm saying? Where is this shit? So I don't know, man.
Well, you got to get to the point. Got to be done with it.
Yeah,
I mean, just oversee whatever, or just go on a vacation. Go enjoy life. Just you get to that point. Okay, you can't make another hit. You can't do this, you know, because that's just the way it is.
Sure.
The times change too much. The new generation is totally different.
That's why staying tapped in with the youth is where even me at 40, all my artists are 10 years, 15 years younger than me, and I stay very much tapped in with them and give them game, but also give them room to them telling me certain stuff and me just absorbing it and being like, all right, yeah, let's try that. Like,
see, my problem is I'm one of the older niggas that just think he the shit.
You got to listen to the youth.
I can't believe it.
Like, he's my son's 17. My son's 17. Y'all can't tell him. Sometimes I laugh because he be like, I don't see what's so great about Lil Wayne. What's so good? Right? Because he's 17 and he didn't see it, right? It's just funny to see that. You know what I mean?
But you know what it is? Like, also, like, I think there's such a space at this point in hip-hop if you either that nigga or you not. Yeah. And I think it's the time when you feel like you're not. So when you convince yourself you're not, you know, it's probably like, yeah, I'm going to do something else. But when you know it, you just know it. And at that point, you just mashing up how you going to match up with current society at that time.
Oh, yeah.
That's how it is, like, for me as a creative, right? It's like, I got y'all covered, but let me see where I'm going to meet y'all at. Because I can't meet y'all right where y'all at.
Yeah.
You might have to walk up a little bit more, but I'm going to put out some music. But I'm going to catch you right at that. I'm going to cut you off right at the pass, and I got you. But I could imagine a time where, as a creative, like, I'm not going to be as motivated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's going to happen. You don't want it to happen, but.
I for sure wish I could make records. I'd probably still be making them by myself.
So we didn't really answer. I'm sorry. We kind of went on a tangent. So do you want to put your fingerprints across things on the coast again or with music at all?
I'm good. I'm satisfied.
But to y'all credit, I give you credit, though, Big Dog. You're not the kind of person that won't talk to somebody if they want to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
You will. They could come say, hey, and this is what I tell you that I think we got wrong when we came in. Like, we feel like everybody, all the elders should be teachers.
Yeah.
And they are, but maybe they don't. That's not they drive. I don't think you run this motherfucker trying to minister hip hop to niggas.
No.
Let me come to your studio. Now listen, youngsters. Hip hop. But if I ever reach for you, I could always grab you if I had questions.
Yeah.
Even here today. So I think that's all we really could use.
Yeah.
And I always tell people like different. I tell Head, I'll be like, Head, man, you need to make sure you reach out to Yella. Just you know, this nigga knows some shit about DJing that niggas don't know. So again, I think it's on us to carry the legacy of it all.
Nah.
I mean, and pass the information. Like, shit, we talking about now. So now it's dope to, when I start writing that story, I'm going to be able to reach out. Like, man, look, could you do this? And I think everything else will work itself out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as long as I'm, you know, driving the car, I think I can pop it off. I'll be feeling it.
You know what? I'm going to just piggyback off what you said because, like, my son, he's 16, right? And so he know I be with Yella a lot. And, you know, he was even talking about, like, these current rappers. He's like, oh, Dad, N.W.A. wasn't all that. I said, son, you 16 and you have no idea, like, you know, like what you'd be trying to explain to your son. It's like they don't understand. He's like, oh, well, so-and-so got more money than N.W.A. I said, well, the money was not like it is today. But I said, and on top of that, they made original music.
Yeah. And them niggas is lying.
And
them niggas don't got that money. I be telling Metro all the time these niggas don't got that money.
Oh, I know, but
lying about
it. I know that.
So next time you get with your son, you call me on three-way.
Glass, look, he be so, you know, and I'll tell him, I said, son, you got to remember what you think. They don't have that. But see, I mean, you know, because you on.
I used to be seeing these niggas talk about they got all this money. I'm looking, I'm like, right. You niggas lying.
Exactly. And so I be trying to explain to my son and his friends, you know, they in my car and they, you know, they be teasing me. They call me, oh, what's up, Mr. Yeller? Cause they know he my boy. And I'm like, I'm not Yeller. I said, but that's my partner. And they was like, oh, well, how is he? Does he got a big house? And then I said, he got a decent house. I said, but it's not about that. I said, you see these rappers on TV and this and this and that. And I said, a lot of that stuff you see, they don't own it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, you know, rental. I said, but NWA, you wouldn't have the rappers you have today without NWA. Yeah,
they standing on their shoulders, like we all, like
exactly.
NBA, them niggas, D'Angelo, you start tallying up NWA money, them niggas don't got enough.
Let's say, like, exactly. NBA
start tallying up all the money and shit, yeah, between the, about, yeah, remember, just, NWA about 3-4 niggas.
Exactly,
it ain't just Yella,
right? Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's some niggas. Yella got some money, but there's some niggas got some money too,
right? And
nigga
and,
got some white people money.
And look, and so when he, like, when you gave him this, your album, yeah, right? He's like, Who?
You don't know.
Yeah, that's the first.
They are the reason that these labels,
rental advisory sticker exists.
They created this label because of them. That's, but see, yeah, when a lot of the teenagers or the youngsters, they don't know that.
Yeah.
Man, my dad used to say something to me. The youth is wasted on young people.
Right. Right.
Because if I was, again, I remember they used to say this shit. Now that's, I'm a hell of a
quote.
Niggas.
That's a hell of a quote.
I'm one of them niggas.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, I wish I knew then, because I'd have for sure been a savage. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because your son, like, if I was your son age and I knew what I knew now, I'd be asking these niggas every question. Boy, I'd be a monster by 19.
For real.
Niggas, boy, they be, government tried plotting to kill me.
Yeah, right.
I got too much power.
Exactly.
These people going crazy.
Exactly.
That's tight, though.
This is like an NBA player today. Anthony Davis standing on Bill Russell's shoulders. Of course, Anthony Davis has way more money than what Wilt Chamberlain ever saw. Oh, but he wouldn't exist without them. So you can't shun him or be like, oh, them niggas ain't nothing compared to them. It's like, bro, you sound that crazy. Part. You know what I'm saying? Like,
again, if everybody... So many, me and Charlamagne talk about this all the time, bro. So many niggas can lie about what they got.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'll be seeing them like, oh, them niggas lying. So that's why I stopped even caring about the money conversation. Even the Oprahs and shit, that shit lie. It's a lot of exaggeration. But something I want to say, I'm going to let you, we're going to cut this shit off. Me and my nigga was talking, right? And we was talking about Easy. Now, I've really been doing a really great job. I don't like talking to Yella is dope because I get to talk to Yella. Yeah. But there are certain, like, I can't talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk. I'm not these other niggas. I don't got to talk to you about Dre because I can talk to Dre and Q myself. But I can't talk to Easy at this point, right? Rest his soul. Now, to know that you and Dre could do NWA, he saw that. That was evident because of what you was able to do with the World Class Record.
Yeah.
So even if he questioned it, at least at that point, he was like, well, these niggas know how to make the music.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So how the fuck did he figure out Unique was going to be able to do Bone? Because Unique hadn't done anything except the stuff that he did on Ruthless with the what's that group?
Unique? He did something before Bone?
That's what I'm... No, he did... What's those dudes that was on Ruthless? It was two dudes.
Not Yomo and Markie.
Yes.
I did them.
Okay, did...
He, I did all of them.
So then how the fuck did he figure out Unique was going to be able to do Bone? Like, how did he get that right? Like, how do you...
Figure I don't that know... Out? Because when they came, when people don't really know, I met them first. Me and Eve was doing a show. Backstage, they walked in singing, you know, rapping to me. I'm like,
Dre's to talk to
me. You see this guy over here? Go talk to him. Eric just came back in. Y'all talk to him. And by the Dre's time we got off the road trip, they was in L.A. from a bus.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and they heard my song that I made for Yomo and Markie called For the Love of Money.
Exactly.
I didn't even know they heard the song. I guess Eric let them in and they made the song for her. I don't know if that was first or Unique song first, but I didn't even know they was rapping to it. They said, oh, yeah, these guys rapped on it. Who rapped on what song?
How the fuck did he figure out Unique was going to be able to do that?
I don't know.
Like, it's easy to gamble on you and Drake. It's easy. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a challenge because all young motherfuckers making music.
Yeah.
Unique hadn't done shit.
I don't know how that one happened.
That's crazy. You know what I mean? Always take a group.
Yeah.
And then go take them to Dre and Yella to do it. Like, Unique does the records, and it's just crazy.
I guess
that nigga's he must have had a track
or something already. He must have had one made. I'm quite sure he must have. Because I'm like, he just came from nowhere. I never heard of him or anything.
That's crazy. Yeah. Fuck. That's one of them things that in the whole landscape of people mm-hmm. talking about easy and business, that's hard. Yeah. Remember, when you lose your producer, the end of Cash Money, before Young Money was when they lost Manny.
Yeah.
The end of No Limit, when they lost Beats by the Pound. The end of Bad Boy is when they lost the hit man. The end of Death Row, when they lost Drake.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
The producers.
But Ruthless, right, you spin over and you get Unique to produce, which is probably a top five group of all time.
Yeah.
How the fuck do you figure that out? Remember, Nick, nobody Bad Boy didn't figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
Easy figured that out in the 90s.
Yeah. They just.
I think a lot of people be underrating the producer being there. They think, oh, they just nigga making beats.
Or he had like Eric had an ear, but he didn't have an ear.
Sure.
He couldn't produce himself to get out of a paper bag. Not at all.
Or write a rap.
Yeah, nothing. But he just, I guess, took a chance. That's what I think. Just took a chance. Gambled. He knew how to roll them dice, though. He rolled a 7 and an 11, boy.
7-11.
Good looking out for tuning in to the No Ceilings Podcast. Please do us a favor and subscribe, rate, comment, and share. This episode was recorded right here on the west coast of the USA and produced by my homeboy, A King, for the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Yeah.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids.
Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.